early days of the DMT, one's career was usually a well-laid-out course of promotion by seniority, as Alan Morey and Philip Youngman recall.
Yes, on average you spent about 7 years in a grade to reach to the top of the grade, unless you went out to a registry in the country or something like that. There was no back chat. I was working with somebody and might call him by his Christian name as the first level clerk, but when he went up to the next grade, you had to address him as Mister.
The people they were bringing in were 15 or 16, so we were kids. The way it evolved with seniority was that the older you get, the more you went up in the grade. So you effectively had a family environment. You know, you came in as kids, and then you got to sort of the next level where you were middle, you know, low management, and then you move up and up. And the older guys were the managers, they were the father figures, and we had some excellent men.
Philip also commented on the industrial scene prior to the introduction of legislation requiring equal pay for women.
The industrial scene back then was very frustrating because there were two unions. There was the PSA and ATOF, as they called it, the Australian Transport Officers Federation. And traditionally, the PSA had represented the women and the ATOF had represented the men. There wasn't equality of pay. The women had a separate clerical structure than the men. And in fact, the highest paid woman would have probably been someone like the secretary to the commissioner, and was probably about the second or third level from the bottom of men in pay, you know. So it was very much slanted towards men. And when equal pay came in, they amalgamated the seniority lists, and the women got a rough deal because they basically got amalgamated all right, but they got put down the bottom of the clerical ones, you know.
During the 1960s, the DMT underwent a process of decentralising its offices. A number of country registries and departmental offices opened up in major country and metropolitan centres. In 1989, as a result of a long process of review of government departments and their efficiency, the DMT was amalgamated with the DMR and the Traffic Authority. Bob Rees, Senior Legislative Officer, Driver and Vehicle Procedures, reflects on the time of the amalgamation.
The Ryan government commissioned David Block to do a report on efficiency and productivity and management within the public sector. So it wasn't confined to this organisation, it was across the public sector in New South Wales. And that review started in the early 80s, and I think it was given to Jerry Gleeson probably in 86, 87, somewhere about that period, and that was the start of the restructure of the public sector. But then, of course, it was really an exercise of downsizing the public sector, seeing things that were being done in the public sector that there was a belief ought to be done better from the outside. But it really wasn't started till the Greiner government came into power, and they just took all this documentation that was done in the Rae and Unsworth era and implemented it.
Philip Leeds, the manager of Vehicle Industry Regulation, explains that part of the process of amalgamating the three formerly discrete government organisations entailed the difficult task of rationalising jobs and restructuring positions.
The job I was given was to, the instruction was that they were to be made into an integrated resource, effectively multi-skilled and also regionalised. What we had was and in fact what created a few problems in terms of the integration process is that you had what were the motor vehicle inspectors who did the technical inspections, the roadworthiness inspections, were effectively trade qualified. The weight of loads inspectors did not require a technical trade qualification. At the time I think they had to be registered weighman, but that was effectively just essentially a certification process. So there were some issues there about when you try to integrate and come up with a career structure and a job structure that recognises not only qualification and experience and equates that to a grading, is that you ended up with effectively the people with the trade qualification having access to higher grading to the higher level jobs by virtue of, you know, a job grading system that valued a qualification. So there were certainly some industrial issues associated with that.
The amalgamation and restructure resulted in a new organisation, the RTA, which had far fewer jobs in just about all areas. Tom Suter, policy officer, driver and vehicle licensing policy, who worked in accounts at the time of the amalgamation, was one person affected by the downsizing.
We had a pretty big accounts area, about 100 people. Now, the end result of the amalgamation was that there were 80 people in that section, which, and I was one of the 80, who didn't have a position. So the offer was then made, you can either be redeployed to another position or have a redundancy. So some people took the redundancy and some people, you know, got redeployed straight away, and others like me didn't see a suitable position straight away, so waited and, or tried to wait until a suitable position came up.
Many people felt that the most difficult challenge posed by the amalgamation was to reconcile two very different work cultures. The DMT was clerically based, whereas the DMR was a very different style of organisation, as Jeff Deacon, formerly Director, Driver and Vehicle Policy and Regulation, describes.
The only thing that the DMR and the DMT really had in common was vehicles. I mean, one built the roads for the vehicles to travel in, the other one sort of authorised their use, if you like. What the DMR brought to the RTA or brought to DMT was money.
Barry Booth, accounts clerk with the RTA, who spent many years in operational areas of the DMT, noted that while there were many difficulties experienced during the amalgamation, there are also benefits which flowed to staff.
In those days, we couldn't get on the clerical staff because of a certain anomaly. It wouldn't allow us unless we did a tech course and got our intermediate certificate. But that's one advantage with the RTA, that I have been able to go further because they didn't say, oh no, just because you're a storeman, we're not going to accept you in the clerical side. You, what you're basically doing is clerical work, so therefore, you know, they were willing to transfer me across.